Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. As you know, I am your host, Matt Tordio. And today, well, we're going to talk about some rather large explosions that reportedly came out of Ukraine, which they didn't. Well, I mean, they did. The time frame in which they came out is really the questionable part. And then we're going to go over, we're going to jump over to the Middle East. We're also going to talk about Putin and kind of his backhanded deal that he just came out. You know, I told you guys before that Trump is playing chess and not checkers, and not just regular chess, but like 4D chess. I mean, that man is getting in deep on everything else that's going on over one in Iran, two in Russia, three, you know, with Israel, with the Houthis, and also with China. But I feel like Putin just made a pretty strategic play today. And it's going to be very telling of what's to come, depending on how Zelensky ends up answering it. So as we're getting into this, I got to show you guys this video right here. This video is kind of, I don't know, ridiculous. It's making its way around the internet. People are like, holy cow. After I told you guys about the biological weapon that very possibly ended up getting deployed over inside of Ukraine yesterday, people started sharing this video. Uh-oh. God, WTF is that? Well, number one, I'm telling you right now, it's not a nuclear detonation. Two, if your guess was ammunition depot, you are correct. Three, if you guessed today, you are absolutely incorrect. Either way, it's a hell of a video and it's a little bit older. And I remember even when this video came out, people were looking at it going, oh my God, it's a nuclear detonation. It's not. Ended up getting shared today again across social media, talking about, you know, like Putin and war crimes and everything else. And I think that there is some disinformation that's out there floating around the internet, and we got to be very careful about what it is that we're watching and you know, where it's at, because there's so much. Now, it's a cool video. You guys want to see it again? It's bad. It's a baller freaking explosion. Yeah, that is an ammunition depot. Okay, so right there, so number one, if anybody ends up telling you that this is a nuclear detonation, they're lying to you. And if you haven't been able to tell yet that this is an ammo depot, there is something very key on the screen. Hopefully you guys can notice it and you see it. I really hope, because I built some intellectual, honest, critical thinkers over here on this channel over the last couple of years. So I hope you guys are able to see this and analyze and see exactly why I froze the video where I did. There's two key points that'll let you know that this is something other than a nuclear detonation. One is that nuclear detonations are going to 99% of the time end up being airburst munitions. Number two, what you end up seeing is a secondary blast that are taking place throughout the video. Where I paused it right here, and I'm going to circle it on the screen, you can actually see some munitions that are cooking off and floating around over there. So you get two main freaking like glows that are coming out of that sucker. Either way, it's going to end up telling you that this is not a nuclear detonation. Now, reports that I'm getting coming out of Ukraine following last night's, I don't want to say this, debacle when it came to whether or not the biological weapon, or excuse me, chemical weapon ended up taking attack with the blister agents. Well, I'll tell you that as far as I'm concerned, from what everything that I've heard so far, and I'm just waiting on the documented evidence that, yeah, it took place. It did. For some reason, there's something that's taking place over inside of Ukraine right now where people are like scared to actually bring this up, talk about it, pretend like it actually happened, real, whatever. So working right now on getting those videos out of there. Trying to get them, and I'm not going to tell you where they're coming from, just trying to get them. And it's building the trust with the individual that actually has them to be able to get them. And I want them because I want to be able to pin this shit on Russia once and for all. 350. Oh, you know what? Before I even get in that portion, we need to talk about Putin's dumbass. Because Putin did something absolutely freaking nutso today, as far as I'm concerned. Putin did. We got the deal. Putin wants peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Putin wants peace. Putin comes out and he says, you know what? I want peace. I want to welcome Blip to becoming a true supporter and Jerry Frank to becoming a true supporter. Good to have you guys both on board. Now, Putin claims that he wants peace. That's what he said today. But the way in which he wants it is kind of on his own terms. Putin doesn't want peace like most regular human beings that realize that they broke a bunch of laws and invaded another country, ended up murdering a crap ton of people, got an international warrant out for their arrest for human trafficking and several other things. No, Putin wants Ukraine to give up all of Crimea and pretty much every single chunk of territory that they currently occupy over inside of Ukraine. In return, Zelensky gets peace. That's Putin's deal right now. That's it. That's what Putin's coming out with. So at least that's the word on the street. But Putin did come out and say, listen, if you guys, if you want peace, we'll give you peace. But this is where I'm at. Now, in just a couple days here, Zelensky is scheduled to meet up with a bunch of like international folks, and they're supposed to be drafting up his idea for peace. And they're going to send that forward to Russia. And depending on what Russia says, that's going to determine whether or not we're going to have peace. And on top of all of that, we heard the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, just what, like less than a week ago, 5 days ago, ended up saying that we're running out of time. We're not talking about weeks. We're not talking about months. We're talking about a matter of days before this needs to go off. And I think the reason he's doing that is because of everything that's about to go down in the Middle East. Orderly chaos coming in. He says, hello, family. There's a request on the announcements. Let's get the car back on the road, please. Check out the post. So if you guys are over in the Discord, if you are a true supporter, yeah, get in there. Go check out those announcements, and we'll go check it out here in a minute as soon as we get done with all this. It's absolute madness. Like, literally, Putin is declaring that, you know what, Ukraine, we're willing to come to the negotiating table, and we're willing to want peace. And all of this is coming as we're staging all the way around the Middle East. And something happened today as well. Check this out. Let me get this article up. Remember how I talked to you guys about what's taking place in the Red Sea and how all of this is going to end up like impacting Russia and why it's a big deal to them? Exclusive: Russia cuts 2025 energy export income estimated by 15%. Now, that is just a tiny, tiny portion of what's about to come. Already, with the oil prices dropping, their budget estimated cuts by 15%. Now, I told you, all right, that 50% of the oil that's going through the Suez Canal ends up going directly over to Russia, and that's going to impact their ability to wage war. Estimates that I ended up putting said it's going to be about 30% of their expendable budget for this year. 30% of Russia's expendable budget is going to be impacted by us reopening the Red Sea, which means their ability to fund the war inside of Ukraine is going to be diminished. That's a very big deal, ladies and gentlemen. That's a huge, huge deal. Huge, huge deal. And this is all coming on the eve, This is all coming after Putin and Iran ended up signing the deal that allows Iran to have a peaceful nuclear energy program. That's a tiny portion of it. Peaceful nuclear energy program, allegedly peaceful. But this peaceful nuclear energy program that Putin's claiming, you guys can't see me. Let me fix that. Let me get that up on your screen. This peaceful nuclear energy program that Putin's talking about here in this document, well, it's not just peaceful nuclear energy. It also ends up developing an entire new banking system. And this banking system is what's going to allow Putin and the Ayatollah to send money back and forth amongst each other. It's going to allow them to avoid international sanctions. And this, to me, goes right back to directly impacting the U.S. dollar. This, in my opinion, is a test run for the things that's next to come, because once they get this banking system down to where sanctions can't impact them, that it's not going to affect them, then the next thing to come is going to be getting more BRICS nations on. And once everybody starts playing games and everybody starts jumping on it, then the U.S. doesn't matter. Pants check? Are you really pants checking me right now? There's no way you're pants checking me right now. Yes, I have pants on. All of my pants are on. You son of a... Are we happy now? Matt's got pants on. Well, technically I got shorts on, but yeah, we'll call them pants. Okay, so for the purpose of this podcast, Matt is wearing his pants. All right, So I hope you guys are happy. This come on, man. This pants check thing's been going on for a long time. You guys have been pants checking me for months. Pants checking me for months. You guys, how many times have you caught me without pants on out of all the pants checks I've done? I feel like this is ongoing like 8+ months now, and not a single time have you guys caught me without pants. Frequenting any gay bars? I mean, from time to time, you know, from time to time. They're really nice human beings. They really are. So all of that being said, everybody is diverting the attention over to the White House and more specifically into the Secretary of Defense. And they're really pissed off about Signalgate. Again, old news. Everybody's coming back. Blame Rob. No, don't blame Rob for it. No, I blame you guys. I blame you guys. You guys are the ones that are like, you know what, Matt, he needs a pants check today. We're just going to go ahead and check his pants again and again and again. Oh, my goodness.
When you dismiss people who you believe are leaking classified information, and again, the investigation is ongoing and that will take time, and if when the evidence produced, it will go to DOJ, why would it surprise anybody, Brian, if those very same people keep leaking to the very same reporters whatever information they think they can have to try to sabotage the agenda of the president or the secretary? So once a leaker, always a leaker. Often a leaker. And so we looked for leakers because we take it very seriously. And we will do the investigation. Right. And if those people are exonerated, fantastic. We don't think, based on what we understand, that it's going to be a good day for a number of those individuals because of what was found in the investigation. So if they want to keep leaking and pushing and peddling things to try to sabotage the president's agenda, that's unfortunate. Right. But that's how leaking works in this town. We're focused on recruiting, on rooting out DEI, on securing our southwest border, on the president's agenda, and it's going very well at the Pentagon, and I'm proud of it.
Oh, Brandon Crook says, don't forget about our signal chat about our morning schedule tomorrow being changed. G-74 classified. Thanks, Matt. First of all, it's G-14 classified. Everybody knows that is the highest classification level on signal is G-14 classified. So, no, I didn't forget about it. Tom B, a.k.a. Bone, says, that's not true. We did catch you one time whenever I was on the show. You kind of had an accent. Oh, well, that was a different story, man. We're not talking about that. That was a different story. We're not talking about that. We're not going to bring up old stuff, Tom. No, or yeah, Tom. Nope. We're not bringing up old stuff. Nope. Absolutely not. Nope. 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 Well, as apparently there was a new signal chat leak in case you guys haven't heard about it. Benjamin Netanyahu allegedly ended up having a good conversation with Donald Trump today. Immediately afterwards, the notes of their signal chat afterwards were leaked out, and I happen to have exclusive insight onto what those notes look like right up here on your screen. As you can see here, you have the Iranian flag right in the middle, surrounded by a bunch of bombs. And I do believe this is what the signal chat actually looked like. Throwing that out there. I mean, did that actually happen? No. If it was to be leaked, I have a feeling this is what their notes of the phone call would have looked like, right? Anyways, this is what Donald Trump had to say about it. I have spoken to Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, relative to numerous subjects, including trade, Iran, etc. The call went very well. We are on the same side of every issue. Now, that to me is extremely important. Oh, here we go again. Super chats coming in. Jernigan Inc., my 8-year-old run ruled Weatherford, Oklahoma tonight. Oh, your 8-year-old run ruled Weatherford? Oh, that's freaking awesome, man. That's awesome. I think that's a good thing. I think what he's trying to say, he or she, I'm not sure which one, is trying to say that their kid ended up owning the run. That's baller, man. Congrats to your 8-year-old. That's amazing. I love it when kids just like achieve and kick butt. And that you're so proud that you actually come on here because kids aren't getting enough praise from the parents these days. And that's half the dang problem in this world, in my opinion. So why do I think that's an amazing thing? Not just the 8-year-old running, but Trump and Netanyahu being on the same page. Because of all of the things in the world, I do not see Benjamin Netanyahu bending to Iran having any sort of nuclear capability. Netanyahu came out, what, 2 weeks ago? Week and a half ago, saying that the Biden administration actually tried to stop him and did stop him from bombing Iran. That's wild to me that Netanyahu actually ended up calling him out. Who's saying it's fake? Trump is a traitor. Fake? No, that's real. It's a very real thing. Trump ended up putting that out today. They're on the same page with Iran. They're going after him. Sky God coming in, gifting out 2-0. Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you, brother. So if they're on the same page as Iran, and we know that Benjamin Netanyahu wants to bomb the living hell of Iran, rumors for a very long time now have been coming out saying that Israel has intelligence that Iran is going back on their deal and that they're lying about it. We have no reason to believe otherwise other than we need to bomb the living crap out of them. And with the amount of hardware in the Middle East and these new amount announcements coming out from the Trump administration, it seems to me like that's going to happen. Seems to me like we got enough stuff freaking on the table to make that happen. We had numerous lift flights going in and out of Israel today. I think it was 8, if I remember right, cargo aircraft delivering weapons, munitions, and equipment. We also continued up bombing over inside of Gaza. I was looking at the channels today across all of the little freaking Palestinian networks, and all of them are saying that Israel continues to ramp up bombings. I even saw people over inside Israel saying that there was a lot of fast movers flying overhead. Rumors that Israel was heading out to go freaking bomb Iran was taking place tonight. That's how relentless those strikes are inside of Gaza right now. And that is also a huge sign of what's to come when we start talking about the amount of firepower that's being moved into the Middle East. So I'm giving this assessment 7 to 10 days, somewhere in there. Now we're getting closer to 7, but it's going to happen. Do I think these peace talks are going to go good with Russia and Ukraine? Absolutely not. But it's going to take patience. If you guys remember last year when I was talking to you and I said, hey, listen, Israel is going to have to go into Rafah. There's no way they can't go in there. It's going to happen. 2 years ago, seems like now, I was telling you guys that you have to pay attention to the political standpoint on all of these things because they're going to depict what's to come. And that still remains true to this day. And so we all want to know when these things are coming. And I can sit here and I can report to you a little thing here or there. But at the end of the day, this big stuff is about to go down. Madman came in gifting out a Speak the Truth membership. Appreciate you, Madman. Fireworks, dude, aren't even going to begin to describe what's about to take place over there. Fireworks are like the little... No. Fireworks aren't a thing. And I want to shift your guys' focus. I want to take you guys down to Yemen. And I want to talk to you guys about what's taking place in Yemen. You guys remember, I already done shared it over on my Twitter feed. And it kind of pisses me off that I end up seeing these things that are being floated around as facts when very, very clearly they are not facts. So this video ended up coming out 2 days ago, something like that. And they're all sharing again of this Reaper drone. Let me get this up. So they're all sharing this video of this Reaper drone. There's a lot of people talking about how many drones the Houthis have claimed they've downed and how much money and everything else that they're claiming, right? So number one, I want to show you this. I want to show you that this sucker has pretty much skidded to a halt and has broke right in the middle. There is no sign, no evidence anywhere that they ended up moving this sucker right beforehand. You can see the amount of dust that's collected on all the different parts. Pretty much exactly the same across the board. You don't see any handprints. You don't see anything else on it. Looks like it's just been sitting there in the middle of a bunch of dust. And there's a reason I bring that up. Because, here's some other damage right up here towards the front of it, right? Whatever. Wires hanging out. Got it. There's a Reaper. Now, the reason I bring that up is because that video, I was like, is it the same? Like, it looks familiar. Well, I went and I did some digging today because, what do you know, the Houthis lie. What do you know, the Houthis lie? Here is, in my opinion, the exact same drone from last year. And you can see where it's split right over here out towards the tail. And you can see where it's split right up over here out towards the front with all of the dust and everything else sitting on the wings. People are coming out and saying it's a brand new drone. And there's something very interesting about this. Ancient aliens? No. It's not ancient aliens. Uh-uh. It looks like it came down controlled. Bingo! Thank you! Thank you, thank you, thank you. And this is not the first one I've seen this way. I've seen several of these suckers that are being downed over there, and it looks like they're just kind of like repurposing the video footage. This is a picture from a different angle. That's all this is. It's a picture from a different angle. And let me check the date on this. I want to make sure I got the right date. Yeah, May 29th, 2024. It's almost a year old is when that sucker ended up going down. So almost a year old. It was a control drop. No! I brought this up to you guys before. So long ago, I've told you guys about it, and I decided I'm getting so sick of seeing this crap that I actually have to show you. I have to actually go back in time and prove to you that these things took place. So here it is. Ready? Go. Downed U.S. drone, how Iran caught the beast. This article, there's another one from 2019. This one is from 2011, December 9th, 2011. Maybe I'm just getting too damn old right now to remember when this actually occurred. December 2011. And again, you look at it and it's in perfectly good shape. When this thing first came out, they had it displayed, I remember, over on the airfield. Talking about a multi-million dollar drone. Iran is pushing the propaganda advantage after showing it captured an intact U.S. stealth drone on a spying mission 140 miles inside of Iran. Hours after Iran State TV displayed the cream-colored American Batwing RQ-170 Sentinel drone, its undercarriage hidden by banners of a U.S. flag with stars, blah, 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 blah. Here's where it gets interesting. U.S. officials confirmed with high confidence that the drone displayed in Iran was almost certainly the one reported lost by U.S. forces in Afghanistan last week. It was on an intelligence mission to hunt evidence in Iran of nuclear weapons work. Despite those and other intelligence gathering efforts, which are reported to include. So listen, bottom line, we don't just lose communication of a drone. They just don't get lost. And certainly one of that nature definitely doesn't get lost inside of Iranian territory. They just don't go float off on their own. That's not what they do. And if they are going to float off on their own, they sure as heck don't end up landing like this over inside of Iranian-controlled territory. Were they able to find it? You got to think about it. If this stealth drone was just off doing its thing, what it was supposed to do, and we end up losing communication with it, et cetera, number one, why isn't it damaged? And number two, how did they find it? How did they even know that it was going down? Obama gift wrapped it. Yeah, probably. Aircraft sometimes have issues. You're right. But the amount of technology that goes into these drones, this isn't the type of issue. It's not just going to skid to a freaking halt. You're talking about a catastrophic failure. They can't be considered stealth nowadays. I like what Graham Alkins, I hope I pronounced your name right, is saying. Hacked. It's a very interesting word. Hacked. Hacked is a very good word. And why do I bring up hacked? Because it is the exact same thing that we end up seeing on these ones. If you've ever been to a drone crash site, what you would discover is that they don't stay nice and whole like this. They tend to have a lot of issues. And there's very key components. If you've ever done drone recovery work, there's very key components that you end up having to think about. Several other things. Generally speaking, this is not what they look like. Not this perfect, not this beautiful. Hacked, from what I remember, according to AWFD's nuts. Correct. Hacked. And so what do we know? Well, we know Iran is operating over inside of the Red Sea. We know that they allegedly have spy ships that are over there that are passing off information to the Houthis. And when we see pictures like this, in Matt's opinion, all we can assume is that Iran is passing off information to the Houthis, or that their little spy ship that's operating over there in the Red Sea is actually downing these drones for them and then sending the Houthis over to go get them. Do we really think the Houthis have the capability to take care of this? Now, at first, I don't know. I must have seen about half a dozen of these. Now, there's only been one, I think, if I remember right. I think there's only been like one of these drones over inside Yemen that I've seen where I was like, that sucker was shot out of the sky. How it happened, I don't know. But that one got shot out of the sky. This one, not so much. And the vast majority of the ones that I've seen over inside of Yemen have looked like this. And these drones right here, these ones, these are the ones that I'm worried about, because this is telling me that Yemen is continuing these electronic warfare attacks. That's it right there. Who said this clickbait is getting uncomfortable or something like that? Where'd it go? The clickbait is getting tiresome. No, it's not. It is 100% not clickbait. Putin is being kind of intelligent. And I talked about it earlier. Putin is being extremely intelligent with what he ended up doing. Putin coming out and saying that he is willing to make peace put Zelensky in a really crappy spot, because Zelensky now has to make up some sort of a freaking consignment, if you will, over to Russia. Now, Zelensky has to decide, do I want to give up Crimea? Do I want to give up the Donbass? Do I want to give up Luhansk? Do I want to give up the land bridge? What is it that I'm allowed to give up? Is anybody actually going to accept that? How do I convince everybody to accept it? Because if Ukraine doesn't come to the negotiating table, then you don't get Trump's promise. You don't. You don't get Trump's promise. If Zelensky cannot convince anybody in Ukraine to give anything up, even if it's for a BS deal. Putin actually had a pretty good concept. If he can force Zelensky to make some sort of a concession, okay. I don't think Putin's going to accept it. It's a gamble. It's a roll of the dice. But I don't think Putin's going to accept it. Putin is not going to stop short of anything that he's currently controlling. There is zero incentive for Putin to do that. Are they seriously again, man? I just fixed those ad settings a little bit ago. There's no way, man. All right, I'm going to have to figure out how to take care of that because that's just getting annoying. I'm so sorry about that, guys. Tried it. Says it fixed it. I'm sorry. That's the deal with freaking Putin. Is he's going to have to figure that, or I'm sorry, that's the deal with Zelensky, is he's going to have to figure it out. Putin 100% made one hell of a call. And if you can't realize that, brother, I don't know what to tell you. Because now Zelensky is going to have to figure out what to do next. He is going to have to. In the next week, in the next couple of days, Zelensky is going to have to make a decision on what chunk of terrain he wants to give up for a concession. Yeah, number one, he's got to give up all that terrain according to Putin. Number two, he's not allowed to join freaking NATO, which I don't think is a good call. What else was it? Putin asked for pretty much all occupied terrain. None of those things are going to happen. Putin's obviously shooting for the stars. But it's all garbage. All garbage. None of that stuff is going to go through, honestly. Putin made a smart call, whether we like it or not, because it puts Zelensky in a crap spot. Now Zelensky's got to freaking convince his people, his constituents, the government, everybody else, on what he's going to agree upon to send forward as a peace agreement. And it's a gamble. It's a roll of the dice. It is an absolute roll of the dice. And we can go back and we can look, and I can tell you exactly why freaking Putin did it. And I explained to you guys that this was going to be a thing. I 100% came out. I called it. It is going to hurt their economy when they start opening this up. Everybody's like, oh, Matt, that's freaking bullshit Trump propaganda. Boom, Russian cuts. Hey, stop it. Stop it. Russia cuts 2025 energy export income by 15%. 15%. That is a big deal. I'm telling you right now, when that freaking oil export coming out of Russia is going to account for 30% of their budget, 30%, it is going to hit Russia in the pocketbook. And you can say it's not going to work all you want. I don't think Putin's going to stop. I think he's going to do a lot of crap like we ended up seeing yesterday. I think it's going to become more widespread. It's going to be pushing the limits, kind of like a freaking kid or a dog that's trying to figure out what it can and can't get away with. I think that's what we're going to see coming out of Vladimir Putin. But stuff like this crap, Putin notices, whether you like it or not. And that also, all right, Putin's also not a moron. He is going to be looking for ways in order to get the U.S. and Zelensky back. And by simply forcing Zelensky to come up with something, that puts him in a shit spot because Zelensky does not want to give up a sovereign piece of Ukrainian territory, and he knows it. Rusinator, Runosaur, coming in gifting out 20-0. God dang it, Runosaur. Speak the truth, memberships. That was a very strategic move by Putin, whether you like it or not. What Putin did is either A, force Trump not to give Ukraine any more support, or B, at least get some sort of concession out of Zelensky, which is going to cause a little bit more political disruption in the country. It's a fact. They have enough problems going on there as is, and they don't need any more. I'm sorry that you don't agree with that assessment, but it's pretty wise of freaking Putin to do that. It bothers me that people don't see it. Bothers me that people don't see it. Why people don't see it is beyond me. This bombing, like, relentless. And this is the other thing. Like, you don't even see a lot of this being put out by the U.S. government, by our social media, by anything. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not. A lot of things have quieted down. We don't see a lot of bombings coming out of Yemen. We don't see a lot of talks anymore about the different equipment moving. What we are starting to see, all the information we're getting early that's coming out of Gaza, that's coming out of the Middle East, is basically flight patterns and different aircraft that are moving around the Middle East. But the United States government has been constantly bombing the shit out of the Houthis. I was listening to people earlier that were talking about whether or not the U.S. was testing its B-2s and freaking different bombs and everything else like that. Like the amount of like thinking that's going into all this. If you think for some reason the U.S. is testing its bunker buster bombs on the Houthis, no. I promise you that like the U.S. government has the ability to go over and check like the different soil compositions and everything like that. Basically knows before they drop these bombs how much penetration they're going to end up getting out of the vast majority of them. That's going to include inside of Iran, or at least a dang close estimate. So all of this bombing that's taking place over there right now, this is specifically going after Houthi-led targets. And I'm hearing again that those 80,000 Yemeni are lined up over on the coast of freaking Yemen, getting ready to go in an assault. Explain this to you where they're going. I believe I talked about this last night with what's going on in Yemen. We can't just simply bomb them into oblivion and hope that they go away. Last night I ended up showing you guys this graphic. It's one that I put together, like, I don't know. I gathered it like over a year ago and ended up showing it to you guys. This is Yemen. All the way over here, this is the port, allegedly, that they're going to be going after. This is where exports, oil, infrastructure, things like that, all coming out of all the way over here. And supposedly, there's 80,000 troops that are loyal to the government of Yemen that are just waiting on the go-ahead. There's one video of a freaking leaked convoy that hasn't been disproven that ended up coming out, I think it was Friday. 80,000 of them stacked up and ready to go. That's too graphic. You want a different one? How about that? Does that make your life easier? Is that a little less graphic? So this shows the Houthi-controlled population, everything in red, Houthi-controlled. Al-Salif, I believe that's where they're going. We've been bombing the shit out of Sana'a. We've been going up over these coastal towns and bombing them, right? But this is what the Houthis control. When we go over here, this shows population density. And as you can see, the vast majority of the population lives in Houthi-controlled territory. The darker it gets, the more people that are there. The darker it gets, the more people are there. The Houthis control the vast majority. And so as we're bombing the crap out of these people, that's what they're being focused. Like, that's what they're focusing on. Now, 80,000 troops versus the Houthis. Dude, I don't know. I don't know. But supposedly, the amount of air support and everything that's moving in there, they're going to be able to back them up. We got the different AWACS systems that moved over there. We've got like different airframes basically that can end up controlling all of these different maneuver element, well, not maneuver, but fires elements that are taking place, right? C2 nodes, command and control, all of that crap, airframes that can control the air, detect different things that are going in. All of that stuff has been moved in the Middle East. And so this is staged and ready to go. The other thing that's staged and ready to go is the IDF over inside of Gaza. I ended up sharing this freaking, I don't even care. I don't even want to show it. Here we go. I ended up showing this video earlier on today's podcast because not a lot of stuff ends up coming out of there. I shared this video earlier. If you guys were here this morning, you've seen this video twice now. This is inside of Gaza. I believe this to be the Netzarim corridor. And this is Hamas targeting allegedly IDF vehicles. They're traveling through it. It could be contractors. I don't know. And I don't care. Here's why. Look at how freaking open and brazen these dudes are. That is a near ambush on the side of a dirt road. Literally just taking a knee with RPGs and AKs. They have now started ramping up. And look how dumb they are. They have now started ramping up these attacks. Congratulations, bro. You rolled a vehicle over. Israel can only sit back and take this for so long before they have to actually answer for this crap. All of the protests that are taking place over in Tel Aviv demanding that hostages be released, none of that crap matters. Because what's actually taking place on the ground is some of these very freaking near ambushes, which are deadly as hell. Your option for a near ambush, if you can't get the hell out of the kill zone, is to assault through the kill zone. That's it. Otherwise, you die. And Hamas is pulling them off inside of Gaza. They're also reportedly recruiting 30,000 new guys to come in and start blowing up freaking IDF troops. And so while we might be sitting around complaining about 50 plus hostages that could or couldn't be alive inside Gaza, I heard the numbers down around 20, 24, something, whatever. Unconfirmed. And every day that goes by, that number's unconfirmed. So while we're worried about under 100 lives, how many lives are going to be lost the longer that we wait? All it takes is one. And these are the gray area questions that Netanyahu and everybody else is going to have to answer for at the end of the day. When we end up talking about Iran and whether or not Iran is going to retaliate for Israel going into Gaza, these are the questions that we have to ask ourselves at the end of the day. Is it worth it to sit around and wait for 50% chance that Iran might have a nuclear weapon? Do we want to bet our freaking bankroll on that? Do I have Hooters? No, I don't have Hooters. I don't. No Hooters on Matt. You know what Matt has? Matt has a huge worry for what's currently going down in the Middle East. That's what Matt has. Matt has a massive concern on whether or not what's going down in the Middle East is absolutely going to be freaking nutroll. You don't get to sit around and wait it out. And all we're doing right now is we're waiting around in limbo. You got the IDF stage, you got bombing taking place in the Red Sea, you've got bullshit happening over inside of Ukraine, and everybody is like turning and looking at all this other crap that's happening in the Middle East. And the real question is, what the hell is actually going on? I wish I had an answer for you. All we got to do is sit around and wait it out, and eventually we're going to come up with a new plan. I've been talking to a lot of people too. Israel, by the way, bombing up over in Yemen, if you didn't know. Israel is going after freaking Hezbollah inside of Yemen. They resume their freaking attacks. Allegedly, the Lebanese government's coming on a couple of weeks ago. I told you guys that the Lebanese government was going to go about disarming Hezbollah. Hezbollah says, absolutely not. We're not going to disarm. Well, Israel decided to keep up and ramp up their airstrikes. Over inside of Syria, people are praising al-Jalani because al-Jalani ended up capturing some PIJ that were running weapons going into Israel, and everybody's praising al-Jalani as if it actually flipping matters. It doesn't. Jalani's still a terrorist. He still leads an FTO. He was still friends with al-Baghdadi. He still wants, as far as I'm concerned, to establish a Sunni Islamic caliphate. I haven't heard anything new come out of him. And everybody's like, oh, well, Jalani, didn't he just, like, I don't know, isn't he a good guy now because he ended up killing PIJ? No, Jalani's still a piece of shit. We have literally got nothing new. Shorts check, thank you. I am wearing shorts today. It's hot as hell. Guys, it's that time. We are literally waiting to see what's going on. I wish I could tell you that there's something new. I wish I could tell you that there's something good that's going to end up coming out of it, but I can't. I'm going to go up over the Discord. I have been scouring everything all day, trying to figure out what's new, what's coming out. And unless you want me to sit here and bitch about the Trump administration, there's nothing new coming out. And I don't feel like sitting back and bitching about the Trump administration or anything else for that matter. I've sat around and I've complained for other people complaining about the Trump administration. It gets old. You must have patience. You must wait. Everybody's sitting here because you guys, like a lot of people, are used to having things happen immediately overnight, just waiting and waiting and waiting. And the truth is, God only knows when it's going to go down. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is it's going to go down, just a matter of time. Seems like it's been that way for a couple weeks now. I get it. I don't make the national security policy. I don't. I think I told you guys earlier today that tomorrow morning, I'm going to end up running an early live session, 8:30 a.m. And I should be off by about 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. I've got two different news interviews that I got to do with I-24 and then another one to do with Real America's Voice before that. So doing my best to get all of this stuff kicked out for you guys. All right. Moving over to the Discord. Let's see who jumps in. If you guys got questions, love to talk to you about them. Love to answer them. Not a lot of questions came out in this morning's live session, likely because there's not a lot going on in the news, but it's still great to see about 1,800 of y'all in here chilling with me tonight as we are waiting for all of this to come out. I wish I could give you more breaking news. I wish to tell you something exciting is going on, but right now there just isn't. There just isn't. So, if y'all want to jump up in the Discord, you guys want to come over and say hi, love to talk to you. If not, I totally get it. Ended up talking to Runasaur earlier today about him coming to Dallas and doing all sorts of great things with his acting career. Super pumped for him. BBG coming to gift out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes there's just not things going on in the world. And instead of me sitting here and filling you full of fluff and bullshit and trying to create false controversies, I'm just going to let you know that's where it's at. That's just how it goes. Rossinator, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? So I just found out through my source, North Israel is getting bombed at right now.
There was a ballistic missile launch that took place over on Israel. Was there a new one that ended up going down?
I don't think so, but they're all in red alert right now in the bomb shells, shelters right now.
What I saw right before I came on was there was a ballistic missile launch by the Houthis, but they ended up blasting it out of the sky. So it's kind of one of those no worries situations.
Yeah, and then eight Air Force heavy transportation planes just landed in Israel.
Yeah, that's those lift aircraft have been pouring in over the last 48. And so we have so much equipment that's moved into Israel. I don't know if it's for Israel in order to bomb Gaza or for Israel to join the United States and going after Iran.
It's going to be interesting because, honestly, I think it's people are saying that World War III is already happening, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's not going to happen anytime soon. And you might get a laugh at this, but people are trying to say that J.D. Vance killed the Pope like 2 days ago or something like that.
I mean, I get that, though. You know, like that I can find funny. Like, he did shake his hand. That happened. And he wished him good health. It didn't age well, but he did it. Did he kill the Pope? Absolutely not. J.D. Vance did not kill the Pope. And anybody that's alleging that is a freaking nut job. No, he didn't. But if he met with Putin tomorrow, I wouldn't be upset. You know?
I wouldn't either. And with all the people that are saying, like, this is clickbait and we should not care, you should care because it's going to happen anytime soon, maybe. Hopefully not, but it will come to the West or to the United States, and we need to be on our toes.
Yep, 100%. Absolutely. I'm with you, brother. All right.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course, man. Who was in here after him? Death Rides, I want to say, was the next one that was in the shoot?
I believe so.
Hey!
What's up, bud?
How's it going, Matt?
Goes good.
All right, good. So my question for you is this. Europe, I know, is weak right now with a lot of their militaries. Britain, Germany, France are all having military problems. Mm-hmm. But considering what Ukraine's done with just the help of physical goods, essentially, and some intel or whatever, if Europe teamed up and said, we'll handle Russia, you worry about Iran and China, like, Europe should be able to push them over the top, don't you think? Am I way off base with this? I feel like we shouldn't have to worry about Russia and Ukraine. The Europeans should be able to handle that. Mm-hmm. We could help them with the nuclear umbrella, the Article 5 and all that, but shouldn't they be able to handle Russia?
Should they be able to handle Russia, or will they handle Russia? These are two entirely different questions. Should they be able to? Sure. Will they be able to? Hell flipping no. You want an honest answer? That would be an honest answer. And here's why I say it. Who's leading the charge for NATO in the freaking EU on the war over in Ukraine? French President Macron.
Poland?
No, it's not even. It's the French. It's a flipping French. And the French president is also the same knucklehead that ordered his freaking, what do you call it? Not destroyer, carrier out of the Red Sea after we decided we're going to bomb the shit out of the Houthis. And he's also the same wuss that went into freaking Cairo and decided that he would sympathize with fat Palestinians trying to gaslight the world and tell them that they're starving.
Yeah,
do you
Macron's
really
a,
think they're going to put Russia in check?
Yeah.
I have zero faith.
How much of the world can we cover? I know we're the dominant military force, but can we be helping Israel with Iran, fighting Russia in Ukraine, and help Taiwan if China decides it's go time?
Well, I don't think China...
I mean,
Yeah, valid questions. Can we be spread out all over there? No. And that's why I said worst case scenario. And when I say, can we be spread all over there? It doesn't mean like, can we be there? There's a lot more to war than putting boots on the ground. Putting bullets in rifles also matters. And when we're moving Patriot freaking battalions out of PACOM into CENTCOM, when Joe Biden tells the world that we're out of 155 shells, so we got to send Ukraine clutch munitions, when we end up moving a bunch of freaking stockpiles into the Middle East from God only knows where just to bomb the crap out of the Houthis in Iran, I would hope that the U.S. government has enough supplies of all of these different things to take care of it. But that only lasts so long. Question isn't, do we have the ability to project ourselves for a short period of time? It's, do we have the ability to project ourselves for a long period of time across those different AORs? I don't think we do. That's my concern.
I would agree with that.
Right. And so I think that... Right. And I think that is why we are now seeing going after Russia in a different manner than militarily, than being open and being like, you know what, Russia, eat a wiener. You know, we're going to go after the supply routes. We're going to go after the freaking money, and we're going to start taking care of that stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Matt. Thank you.
It's not the best answer. It's the only one that I can come up with for why we're doing what we're doing, brother. I'm sorry. I appreciate your opinion,
even if it's not what I want to hear.
What were you hoping for out of curiosity?
I mean, obviously, out of curiosity, I'd like you to say we got everything covered that we need, and you know, we can make the world a better place with a magic wand. I know it's unrealistic, you know, but I want to think everything's going to work out well.
We do have enough munitions to make the world a better place. I just don't think anybody likes the idea of us using nukes.
Yeah.
Throwing that out
there. Yeah. That's a tough one.
I mean, for some people. Matt. Yeah, take care, brother. Who we got up next? That's fine.
Hey, as a longtime listener, since the very beginning of the Ukraine war.
Good.
But anyway, man, thanks for the good job you do. And I was mulling this over for a few days, how there's a shock factor when people see what true war is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people assume that war are just uniformed militaries versus uniformed militaries, mm-hmm. you know, in combat. And that's not what war is. War is a people versus a people and nations versus nations. It's brutal, and people don't understand it. I mean, heck, it's been 80 years since people have seen it. So,
you know what? I saw a video today coming out of Ukraine that I think kind of speaks volumes. And if I ended up sharing it, it would blow people's minds. And also, I think YouTube would just slap me with another strike, which I really don't need right now on YouTube. It's a video of a Ukrainian soldier in a trench after he shot a Russian soldier, not fatally. And he's taking the buttstock of his weapon. He's just smashing this dude in the head violently. And then you see him end up like removing the helmet of the guy and then smashing him with the buttstock of the rifle in the head over and over again. And then finally stands up and cranks a round off. And I think he even hits him again after that. That's war.
Yeah.
That's the brutality of war. That's what Ukraine's facing.
Exactly.
And I sat there, you know, like I looked at that video and I was like, I might actually make a comment on this video. Why is it that that Ukrainian soldier went to that extreme smashing this guy's head? Right? I've shot a lot of people. I've never gotten
there. I mean, he's probably heard of people being tortured over their local radios. And you know,
That's happened where they end up getting on the radios and torturing people, raping Ukrainian women.
Yeah. Yeah, I could just imagine what that would do to me psychologically. I would, yeah.
How about massacring a shit ton of your people and bragging about it over radios? You're raping your women. How about gassing the soldiers that are on the front line and the international community blows it off? How about invading your country for crying out loud? How about taking your kids and sending them over into another country? Human trafficking.
It's just unfortunate that brutality directed at the fellow soldier you would have been friends with, you know, if other decisions were made.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that it's directed at the wrong people.
Well, it's funny.
And it always, I mean, that's just how it's designed, the grand design, unfortunately.
You know, it's funny. I see some people like, probably because he took out a couple of his buddies or anything like that. Look, like I've been pissed off like that before myself. There is something deeper about this war. Like, there was some shit that I had a point like throughout the Ukraine war where it was like, there's only so much of this stuff that I can see. There really is.
Oh yeah. I've done that as well. I've taken like a month. Just, yeah, I can't look at this.
There is too much of that shit, in my opinion, that's going on, but it is the level and the extent of it that makes you know how pissed off and upset they are. I can't for the life of me imagine being a Ukrainian and having those pieces of shit in my country. I would probably feel the same way. I would probably be killing as many as I could, and I would probably be posting every bit about it for psychological warfare against the Russians.
Wolverine.
What really pisses me off today is how so many people shit on Zelensky. And I wasn't born yesterday. I remember when the cruise missiles started raining in Ukraine. I remember watching all of those live. You remember the live stream cameras that were up just all over the place, and you could just watch. You could just see these Russian, you know, BTGs just stacked up rolling in, and Zelensky made the decision to die in Kyiv.
And yes, he
did. I don't know how many world leaders that haven't fled their country at like the, you know, the drop of a hat. It's really unprecedented in since I've been alive.
There was women that were like losing their crap over Zelensky when all that happened. I don't know. It's like
people have such short memories.
Correct.
Maybe it has something to do with the social media programming.
Correct.
Combination.
Perfect example. Remember, everyone used to brag about how Zelensky didn't wear a suit and wore his fatigues because that's what his soldiers had to wear. And correct. Then JD Vance around him, why aren't you in a suit? This was like a whole thing for years that like he doesn't wear a suit.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I can understand an argument of due to financial constraints, not funding the war, but I just don't get the trash talking of Zelensky. It's unwarranted.
I think it's the bigger game. Think poker. If you're not bluffing everyone at the table, are you really playing?
That's kind of the way I've seen it.
We're kind of having to do right now is social media is making it where instead of writing letters in secret where only their cabinet reads it, they're on Twitter shitposting each other.
Well, there's crap posting, but there's also like outward facing versus actions. You know, like I had pointed this crap out before. I actually got the dollar figure off of it. You know, allegedly we were talking about $300 billion that we'd spent on Ukraine. Then the Trump admin reduces down to estimated $100 billion. And estimated money going to Ukraine was like 184.6 or some crap like that, that has been allocated. So that means if the Trump admin says that, you know, we've only spent 100 billion, then there's 84 billion plus that needs to continue to go into Ukraine. That has been allocated by law, mandated by law, must spend. That's a big deal.
Man, this would have gone way different if we would have just opened the floodgates of supplies like month one.
Supplies do you think is tied up on the fact that they're now doing a full like 8 week spin up on troops, mechanized infantry, and they're waiting on troops to be trained up to deliver the supplies, and the supplies are just kind of sitting there waiting?
There is a difference between having infantrymen and having vehicles for the infantrymen to ride in versus having good infantrymen and good vehicles and actual combined arms battalions and combined arms units. My issue is not that they're going to have them. It's that they're not going to be as proficient. Russia's relying vastly on numbers. That's what Russia is relying on. Ukraine, on the other hand, has been working with NATO for a really long time, getting a lot of different training. And the NATO doctrine, right, calls for combined arms efforts. And when you have troops that are jumping on all of these different armored vehicles that need to work with like priorities of fire and freaking air power and everything else, but the troops on the ground aren't as proficient in those vehicles, then it's no good. And so my concern is that they're rushing to get all of these things in and rushing to get all of this crap done, when reality is quality is more important than quantity, but you have to have a certain amount of quality to hold the line. You have to have a certain amount of quantity to hold the line. Once you have that quality and quantity, train the crap out of your freaking people and then start knocking out what you need to do. So when I hear about that type of stuff and I see that type of stuff, it's the same crap I've been hearing for a long period of time. The issue is training. The issue is getting it there to go. I can give them the most advanced freaking, you know, tank, but if it's employed in the wrong way, it's just going to get blown up in the first day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like just driving something into a volcano. It doesn't matter how much you spend on it.
And I were discussing the other day that right now Ukraine, thanks to post-Soviet, their own inventions, France, English, Finland, U.S., right now, logistically, they are in a harder position than almost any country to ever have fought a war because of how many different machines they're operating. Even with the NATO standard, doesn't mean this bolt fits that bolt hole every time if you're trying to like use two tanks to make one running tank.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Enough said.
Oh, hey, I wanted to read something out of the book of Matthew for people, just if that's all right with you.
Always.
All right. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's just such powerful scripture.
Yeah, and if you were to go line by line, earthquakes all across Iran, famine, complaints over in Gaza, nation against nation currently taking place. I mean, all of these things are happening.
The famine that we don't hear about in North Africa. Korea and Africa and so many.
So much of it's going on
when
right now.
When are you allowed to start calling Russia, Iran, China, North Korea, and their buddies the Axis powers?
Say that again, brother.
When are we allowed to start calling China, Russia, Iran, and their little North Korea buddy system they've got going on the Axis powers?
Yesterday.
They kind of gave themselves that moniker. They call it the Axis of Resistance, but the Axis, they threw that in there. They thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
If you want to add some humor to the episode, I sent you a Fat Electrician video of the last time Iran decided to FAFO.
Yeah. You know,
if you do a live react, I think people would love that, especially since you are military and could actually give like an explanation on what's going on.
Where did you send it to me?
It's just in this True Supporter live chat.
Oh, it's in the live chat? Perfect. All right, let's see here. Yep, I will do that, and then I'll go ahead and end up closing this out. Hey, I really appreciate that passage. That's actually a good one. Read it quite a bit.
Thank you, man. And yeah, I'm going to get out of here, and y'all have a good one. Have a blessed evening. And
thank you, Daddy.
Hopefully do something productive tomorrow. All right, fellas.
Thank you, Daddy. And that's not me calling him Daddy. That's literally his name over in Discord is Daddy Sheen. Okay, so everybody calm down on that one. I'm not sure if you guys are going to be able to hear this in the Discord, but I'm going to let it ride anyways. As long as I can get the sucker to open up. Come on now. Visit. There we go. Hopefully you guys can. I know sometimes that the screen over in Discord doesn't really end up transferring over, but yeah. Holy crap, it's an 18-minute video, bro. I can't do no 18-minute video. Come on now. All right, we'll go to a good portion of it. We'll go to a good plot.
No longer sell oil on the cheap cheap, meaning that Iran has now inadvertently committed the cardinal sin of the late 20th century, raising gas prices.
That's right.
Now the entire Western world looks over at the Persian Gulf like, the fuck?
Yep, not cool with that.
The ghost of Sun Tzu's sitting there shaking his head like, that's the one exception. I would have messed with any supply line except for that one, because we all know what happens next.
Yep.
Yeah, America then proceeds to assemble the largest naval convoy operation since World War II, send them into the Persian Gulf to protect Kuwaiti oil tankers. It is at this moment that Iran should have been like, well, that's unfortunate. Time to figure out plan B, because this obviously is not going to work out. However, they decide that they're going to double down. What they're going to do is they're going to take a bunch of magnetic underwater mines, and they're just going to spread them out all over the Persian Gulf in international waters, and that's not going to have any consequences.
Yes, it at is. All.
So fast forward, April 14th, 1988, the USS Samuel B. Roberts, a guided missile frigate, which is basically brand new at this point, this is like its first big operation, is out there escorting a Kuwaiti oil tanker, and it runs into a minefield, hits a mine, blows up the keel of the ship. The keel is this bottom part right here. It like supports and stabilizes the structure of the entire ship, and it gets blown completely in half. At this point, the only thing holding this boat together is the actual deck. 1 second, everything fine. The next second, there's a 15-foot wide hole in the bottom of your ship. Everything's on fire and water is rushing in. The USS Samuel B. Roberts took on half of its weight in water in the first minute. This is a catastrophic amount of damage that would sink 99% of ships, but as fate would have it, the America sends in an underwater crew, figure out what happened. They find the remnants of the mine. They check out the other mines. Yep, they're Iranian. At this point, now somebody has to inform the president, because this is a big deal, and the president at this point in time is, let me check my notes, Ronald Reagan.
I'm
hopefully scaring off any stragglers. And it is at this point that some Iranian military member decides that he is going to audition to be the main character of this story, because he hops on a 23mm anti-aircraft gun and opens fire on Bravo Group. And without skipping a beat, one of the 5-inch guns on one of the destroyers just goes, poof, and just fucking direct hit smokes this dude. Barely touches the rest of the oil rig. This guy, definitely not the main character, but the silver lining, he at least.
And I don't even have to finish watching the video. Iran got a shit pushed in. That's what happened. Because they're playing stupid games. Am I right or am I right? Yeah, I believe I'm right.
Yeah, that is a best way to describe it. And that's why it's funny watching them try to do this again. Is 8 hours without actively trying, we sunk half their Navy. What's going to happen when we actively try?
What's going to happen when we actively try is exactly what I just described. And it's going to go down, and it's going to go down very hard. The United States government, while we might screw around our military, while I might make fun of them from time to time, has a very strong presence over there, and we're going to end up crushing them. So I don't think Iran's going to want that smoke, and we'll see what ends up happening. There is always a possibility that there is a random peace deal that ends up coming out of this, but nobody is like going to be around to enforce it. The IAEA hasn't been able to enforce the NPT. The only other option really that we have to go in there is going to be Russia. It's not like they're going to allow Israel to go do it. It's not like Iraq is going to go do it. Russia. And we're not on very good terms with them. So we'll see what happens. All right, guys.
You trust Russia to go in and try doing it when we can't trust them to even hold a 1 day or a 1 weekend ceasefire?
Sure we can. Sure we can. Sure we can. On Easter. Were you not listening to the news? They did amazing things on Easter.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys. I'm gonna get my butt to bed. I gotta wake up early for those interviews and whatnot. I love you guys. I appreciate everything that you guys have done. So appreciate y'all jumping up over to the Discord. And I'll see you guys tomorrow morning, bright and early. I'm gonna get that live session up at 8:30 a.m. That way we're good to go. I'll see you guys then. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody up over in the chat, and I'll see you guys tomorrow morning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, up over here on YouTube, peace.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.